a good question. How much of your past influences you? There is a balance between the finished work and our experience. As a young person, or as an older person, one of the things that teenagers don't realize is that they have what's called a plastic brain. That means it's pliable, it's flexible, it's moldable, and it is being shaped. When teenagers in particular, more so than kids, but kids also, make certain types of choices, and usually it's relationship choices, they are hardwiring their brain according to their decisions. Ben Carson, the brain surgeon, says you can actually plug the right part of the brain and you can repeat every word of everything you have ever heard. The decisions you are making now are being hardwired in your brain as your frame of reference for the rest of your life. The finished work will not fix that. What will fix that? The Word of God will fix that. But the finished work does not fix that. Now, that is going to become hardwired into your biology. Some people, they get into these relationships that are not of God, and they don't necessarily do anything impure, but they wire themselves. They wire their thinking. And by wiring your thinking, you are destroying your frame of reference if it's the wrong thinking from the wrong source, not of God. You've got to be extraordinarily careful with that. Why? Because it's going to plague you for the rest of your life because of decisions you make as a teenager. If you make these foolish decisions. It doesn't even mean that the person's going to get into immorality. It's just entertaining wrong things, wrong frames of reference. You see that every day. A teenager's making those types of decisions. They're going to pay for it for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. They're going to pay for it in their marriages. How much of it is in there? All of it. Does it influence you? It changes you. It makes up who you are. Why? Because who you are is made up of your frame of reference, what you have allowed into that frame of reference. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you allow that thinking into your heart, so are you. Enjoy yourself when, you know, down the road, if that's something that as a teenager you're willing to tolerate. That foolishness, that game playing doesn't flush with God. And it is game playing, and it's deadly game playing. It's a dangerous killer game in the mind, and you will pay for it, I guarantee it, if you're willing to play it. How much of it is you? All of it is you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Not before God. Before God, you're spotless, clean, pure, but in your experience, as you think in your heart, that's who you are. This is why you want to be careful who you hang around with, who you talk to, what kind of exchanges you have, especially as a teenager, because you have a plastic brain. You're just wiring it now. That's going to continue till you're in your mid-20s. That's when your brain finally undergoes its last step of development and becomes more, if you will, solidified. But that's what you end up with for the rest of your life, what you're doing now. How do you get rid of it? The Word of God. Will it come back? Absolutely it can. You let the wrong things in there now, absolutely it will come back to haunt you unless you keep in the Word of God to keep it replaced. What you wire in there now is what you have in there for the rest of your life. Be careful what you put in there. The conversations you have now is what you put in there for the rest of your life. Be careful what you put in there. The relationships you have now is what you put in there for the rest of your life. Be careful what you put in there. That's why the Bible says, beware, be careful of how you hear, be careful of what you hear. You are hardwiring your brain. Every single person in this room, if you are a teenager, you are hardwiring your brain with the conversations and the relationships that you're having. And you know what? You will never get rid of them till the day you go home to be with the Lord. That's your frame of reference. That's what you have to work with. enjoy yourself if you're into wrong relationships. You're going to be paying for a long time. They are going to destroy your capacity for a healthy life, healthy relationships that are of God, healthy marriage, healthy family, healthy relationship to your children. Knock yourself out. There are people in our group who have the wrong friends and the wrong relationships. There's more than one. There's several. And you're going to be paying for those relationships for a long time. They are going to come back to haunt you, I absolutely guarantee it. You have hardwired your brain with trash. Same thing with taking in things like wrong movies. Right? Same kind of a deal. You're hardwiring your brain with trash. Knock yourself out. That's what you get to live with. Enjoy yourself. These young people who pursue after a subtle pursuit of lust patterns. Christians, so won't cross any lines, but subtle pursuit of lust patterns. You're wiring your brain into lustful, wrong thinking. Your relationship with your husband or your wife afterwards is going to suffer for it, I'll guarantee it. You will not escape it. I don't care how much you want to think you will. Knock yourself out sticking your head in the sand's going to run out on you. Absolutely. Absolutely. You will be paying for it. I promise you that much. I guarantee it. How do you get rid of it? Word of God. Will you ever get rid of it entirely? Only in your experience, so long as you keep yourself entirely built up in the Word of God, and that's your frame of reference, as soon as you start slipping, it will all come back. Why? It's hardwired in your brain. What you put in is what you got. That's what you get to live with. Sounds a little tough, don't it? Yeah, it's a bear. Right now, I remember very clearly conversations, thoughts, feelings I had when I was a teenager. And sometimes even for me as a pastor, sometimes they still can mold my thinking if I'm not careful. You won't get rid of it. So get rid of it now. Before you can't get rid of it. There are people who are making choices that they are going to regret for a long, long time. I will promise you that one. Several of them. How much of it you are is molded that way? All of you is. How much effect does it have? Tremendous. It changes who you are. It changes who you are. It's that simple. It changes who you are. I know people that I've met several places. We're sweet, we're kind, we're pleasant. They get in the wrong relationships, they turn nasty. They turn hostile, bitter, angry. Pastor Stephen said something, and he's absolutely right. Every good kid that goes wrong because of the wrong relationships. Every good kid that goes wrong because of the wrong relationships. That's what's happening to some of our people. Every good kid that goes wrong because of the wrong relationships. You can ignore it if you like. But I'll guarantee you, you won't be able to ignore it forever because it will come back. You have changed the structure of your own brain. Why? Because neural connections are made and you have no control over that. And you don't get rid of those. They are hardwired. You be careful about the decisions you make and who you talk to and what you say and what you let people say to you. Be careful about that. You're changing who you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking about? Right? In those relationships, what are you thinking about? That's who you are. Right? I mean, you may as well get used to hearing it now while you can do something about it. Because later on, you won't be able to do a darn thing about it. Once it's in there, it's in there. Watch those relationships. make sure they're of God. If they're not, get rid of them. So it works. Solomon's heart was not perfect after God. Solomon's heart was not perfect after God. He was the wisest man in the world, but his heart was wrong with God. Let me ask you guys something. There's a couple of passages in the scriptures. Psalm 144:15 in the B part of the verse. It says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. But on the other hand, Psalm 130 verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. What comes first? God is Lord or Lord is God? What comes first? Something comes first. Either Lord is God first or God is Lord first. Which is first? There is an order and the order is correct. Okay, this is how it works. God is Lord, Lord is God. What does that mean? First, Lord is God. Before He can be Lord. Why? First, I have to be able to trust Him as God, as Almighty. He has to be God, Creator. He made me. He has to be that to me first before I can have Him be Lord. This is a very important distinction. Mark chapter 8, verse 13. The Word of God says, and He left them, and entering into a ship, again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, He saith unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? See, this is why people don't perceive or understand who used to. They have hardened their heart. They have hardened their heart, and so now they can't perceive. Having eyes, see you not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto Him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And He said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? And He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto Him, and besought Him to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when He had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. This is talking about the same thing. This is talking about Lord is God versus God is Lord. What happened? The disciples were very oriented toward their natural wants and needs. And so when Jesus started saying something to their heart, they would not hear Him because their hearts were hardened, because they were pursuing a natural desire, natural need, the things of the natural man. So they could not hear Him. Now, this is where believers frequently are. If I start pursuing in my heart that which is of the natural man, which is not of God, I will not be able to hear Him. I won't be able to do things like hear sound doctrine preached. I won't be able to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. I won't be able to have that intimacy of a relationship with the Savior because there is something in my heart that is between me and Him. And now I cannot hear. It's a veil over the eyes. It's a veil over the eyes. I don't live like that as a believer. I cannot live like that as a believer. Now let's take a look at a few verses. The Word of God says in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 28, "And there came a man of God and spoke unto the king of Israel." By the way, what happened with the blind man? He needed Christ to touch him twice. He touched him once. Lord was God. But he still could not see, he still could not perceive accurately. He was only God. He touched him twice, and God was Lord. And now he could actually see, now he could actually perceive. Many believers are in the Lord is God part. They never enter into God is Lord. What does it mean that Lord is God? He is my Savior. I follow Him generally. I go to church. I may go to a Bible study or even to college. But I never have a specific response to God. Some believers have a specific response to God and then they lose their specific response to God and they go back to Lord is God. Some believers, however, when they have been touched by God, when they've heard from the Holy Spirit, when they've tasted what it is like to have life with Savior, God becomes Lord. And now He is not God, He is Master. Now my life is not my own. My decisions are not my own. My choices are not my own. My relationships are not my own. My life is not my own. It has been bought with another and I have a Master. The servant does not go out on his own apart from the master's bidding. How many people live a life apart from the master's bidding? How many Christian teenagers have secret ungodly relationships apart from the master's bidding? They don't know him as Lord. They only know him as God. Those are the ones that are hardwiring brains the wrong way. They know Him only as God. They don't know Him as Lord. You don't know what it is to have life until you know Him as Lord. And you may have a grasping at life. You're clutching at air. And you can't figure out why it's not working for you. Because you know Him only as God. You don't know Him as Lord. Your life has not surrendered. You still have a life where you're on the throne and He's in the grave. I'll tell you something though. When He comes out of the grave in your life and is on the throne, then you have life. Do you know what the problem people have is? They live in their death, not in their life. A lot of teenagers are in that place. You guys know very well. You guys know, every one of you, I'll bet you anything, those Christian teenagers who are in the place where they are living in the death of the flesh rather than the life of the Savior's life in them through the cross. Your life begins at the cross, folks. It begins there. It doesn't end there. It begins there. Well, how do I know that? Because unless you believe, you are condemned already. But they that believe pass from death unto life. We have passed from death unto life because we have believed. So in that self-preservation of ungodly decisions, of me being Lord of my life, doing as I please with whom I please, in those decisions I am living in the death of the fallen man and I am living under the curse of the flesh. That's why you long so much for things. That's why people long for these things, these possessions or relationships. Adults often long for jobs or prestige. Why? Because they're living in the bondage of death in the flesh. Your life will start once you get into a cross life. Your fulfillment will start once you get into a cross life. It will not start in the self-life. What it will be is a glittery image that will lead you into a death experience. Why? Because that's how Satan works. Satan uses worldliness to appeal to your flesh to bring you to the experience of a grave. Satan will use something that glitters to you, something that appeals to your flesh, and it is a bait. If you bite on the bait, it will hook you, and it will lead you to a death experience. Guarantee it. That's going on here in our group. Take it seriously, take it to heart. It will happen, guarantee it. I promise you it will happen. As sure as you're sitting here right now, it will happen. Be careful of your decisions. Be careful of your relationships. Be careful of who you're willing to speak with and what you're willing to say, or what you're willing to have them say to you. Be careful. You need to go from Lord is God to God is Lord. That's where you will find your life. That's where you find your life. The Word of God says, "And thou, Solomon, my son," this is David speaking to Solomon, "know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts." For the Lord searcheth all hearts. "Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." What's in your Bible? Now I ask you something. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? This is what he said to the wisest man. Are you going to lose your salvation? Absolutely not. Are you going to lose your fellowship with him? Absolutely you can. Absolutely you can. What does God do with people like that? Usually takes them home early. Now, in 1 Kings 11:4, this is what the Bible says. "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart to other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father." Relationship turned the wisest man away from God. And Israel went into captivity because of him. 400 plus years in captivity because Solomon would not be faithful to God. He chose the wrong relationships. Watch out for your relationships. They will make you or they will destroy you, but they won't leave you the same. Choose your relationships very wisely. Don't follow after worldly people. They are not your friends. They have nothing to offer you. They are a snare. And that is all they are. And I don't care how good they look or how friendly they seem. They are of the other kingdom. They are a snare. Don't follow after worldly people. Guys, don't follow after worldly girls. Girls, don't follow after worldly guys. They are a snare. You give that area of your life entirely over to God and don't you touch it. They are a snare. Frankly, I don't care who doesn't like it. You don't like it, you can go talk to God about it. It's His word you don't like.
get over it. Get over it, get right with him. Solomon's heart was turned by the wrong relationships. And he left God. And he left God. In 1 Samuel 6:17, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance." You see, this is the thing. When you are going to follow God, you're not going to understand your own ways. You're not going to understand your calling. You're not going to understand half the times why you are supposed to do what you are supposed to do, why you are supposed to be where you are supposed to be, why you're supposed to go here and not there. That's God's decision. Folks, understand something. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether it's your preference or not, and whether you want to acknowledge it or not, your life has been bought by another. It was bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. And it is not your own. God doesn't share. Do you understand that? God doesn't share. You want to try being shared with something else other than God? Knock yourself out. You're going to find out that God doesn't share. I will promise you that. Why? It's in His Word. It says He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. You may start as a young believer with "Lord is God," but you will have no options but to finish with "God is Lord." Some people backslide. They go from "God is Lord" to "Lord is God." And that does happen. But that's not a good place to be. That means you've become distant from God. You've become distant. Do you remember a while back we spoke a message, "Sifted"? How Satan sifts the believer. There's people being sifted. That's his plan, to sift the believer. There are people being sifted, and some already have been. How do you get back out of it? Simple. Humble yourself before God and draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. That's how you do it. How do you draw near to God? You draw near to His Word. You draw near to His people. You draw near to His church. You draw near in your calling. That's how you draw near to God. But I'll tell you one thing. We believers are funny. We think we can have our secret games. God doesn't play. God does not play. He's not going to play with your life either. You may want to play, but you're playing alone. God's not going to play with you. Now, this isn't all negative. This is actually just a kind of a response that turned into a little bit of a message. What happens when Lord is God? I get saved. I start responding. I start getting into the Word. What happens when I get into the Word? The cross makes its way into my life. What happens at the cross? God becomes Lord. At the cross, God becomes Lord. And that's where I find my life. Folks, don't you realize the Word of God says that unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone? It abides alone. Let me say it again. It abides alone. Cross is where you find your life. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It bears a lot of fruit. What do you want in your life? What do you want in your life? I'll tell you something. If you're not after God, you will have nothing in your life. And you can tell yourself as a young person all you like that it's not so, but the Bible says it is. God is Lord. But when God becomes Lord, He is the sweetest Lord you could even begin to imagine. That's where you find things like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things are added unto you. That's where you find things like, He gives you the desires of your heart. That's where you find things like, He goes above and beyond all that you can ask or think. It's not because you sought the death of the flesh, it's because you went through the cross and God is Lord. And only then, because then you enter into the government of grace. Then you start experiencing the fullness of what it means to have grace working on your side. Don't you get it? I swear, some of you don't. Some of you are completely clueless to this. The way you enter into the benefits of grace is to make God Lord through the cross. It's not through your endeavor. It's not your natural self-effort. It's simply you've gotten into His Word. You've gotten to know Him. And you start to trust Him. And then as you trust Him, you can trust Him to take care of the details of your life. You don't have to start pursuing them on your own. You can simply trust Him. If you're not going to trust God, then why even try anything on earth? Why even be on earth if you're not going to trust God? So you can enjoy the dust? Because that's all it is. It's just dust. That girl is just dust. The guy is just dust. That job, it's dust. There's a kingdom, and it's a real kingdom. And there's a king on a throne, and He has given you a calling, and He has given you a purpose, and He's given you a commission in His kingdom for which He wants to reward you now and later. And people choose, forget it, God, sorry, I'm too busy with my dust. I love my dust, it's pretty. It makes me feel good. Well, you know, you've got a relationship with dust. How many believers look for their relationships with dust? The dog returns to his vomit. The dog returns to his vomit. That's the believer who started walking right with God and then went back to where he started. The dog that returned to his vomit. Folks, what God has to offer you is beyond your imagination, but it is real and it's tangible. But He will not take you there if you will not trust Him to take you. Why? Because you won't respond to Him. This is why Israel had to wait 40 years. Because they wouldn't respond to Him. This is why Abraham had to wait 13 years, because he didn't respond to Him. In all the things of your life, learn to respond to Him. I don't care if it's a job, I don't care if it's school, I don't care if it's your relationships, I don't care if it's your daily decisions. Learn to respond to Him. It's not difficult and it's not painful. I'll guarantee you one thing, because I've been there. It's painful the other way. It is. It's painful the other way. You can try to make your life if you like, but you're going to find that you've made nothing at all. Or you can simply trust God, and He'll take you somewhere. There's a man in our church who would attest to this. Tried to make his life on his own, and it took him absolutely nothing, nowhere at all. But in that making of his life, he actually left the life that God was preparing for him. And it took him nowhere. He was empty. He was starved, so starved he wasn't even hungry after God anymore. God was simply a distant memory. Until he heard sound doctrine again. And then it takes some breaking. Guys, you are young, you have opportunity. Don't waste that opportunity. You only get it once. If you waste it, you lose it. Take every opportunity you have to make it right with Him. You're going to be sitting in front of God at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to be there soon. And I don't care if you want to be there or not, it doesn't make a hill of beans of difference what you want. You will be there. Make sure that your moments are lived right with God. Because if they are not, the loss is profound. Not only at the Bema seat in eternity, but here on earth, the loss is profound. You say it, but you know people don't believe it. That's the amazing thing. Why? Hard-hearted. And they don't trust Him because they don't know Him. Oh, God will break you. I'll promise you that. Why? Because He owns you. And if you're not broken, then the glory of God will not come out. Careful how you make those little decisions, those little conversations, those little relationships, the little details of your life. They're not little. They are profound. They are absolutely profound.